Eclectic.
Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott Davis.
And it is summertime.
It is.
Dude.
It is summertime.
Have you seen the forecast for this week?
Oh my goodness. For some of you who are in some parts of the country that may be listening to this podcast, hitting three-digit numbers for temperature may be no big deal. For
us, it could be normal.
It could be normal.
Fold hat.
It's not normal.
It is not normal.
Especially, I don't know about up here, because you're a little further north than me.
I am.
Not
a
lot.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
But enough that it can make a difference.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
We're looking at 105 on Wednesday. We're looking at 108 on Thursday. Yeah. And like 107 on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to any of it. Except for Wednesday, we're having a, it's a Rock the River, where our Wednesday night, a family in our church, actually a family that's involved in the youth department. They own some property on a river, and we are going to go play on the river.
Oh, dude. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll cancel my youth group plans.
Come on down.
We have a movie night plan.
Come down to Rock the River.
We're going to be in air conditioned watching a movie.
There you go.
But you know what? This weather's gotten so extreme. I mean, it's summertime.
Yeah.
I would say it's the middle of summer, but it's really more towards the second, third of summer.
Right? Yeah.
Towards the end, almost two-thirds through summer. But it's prompted me to do something drastic.
Uh-oh.
So let me tell you real quick. When we lived in Bellingham, we had an above-ground pool. One of those Intex easy setup pools.
Yeah.
It was a 15-foot, diameter round pool. Okay. The motor died on that thing, and we're like bummed out because looking at the price for just a new motor, it's two-thirds the price of a brand new pool.
Right.
So we went to Craigslist and we're like, well, there's got to be somebody that has a used pool in great condition. You know, maybe they bought it 2 years ago and now their kids have graduated, moved out of the house to college, still in great condition. They're not using it though, so they're gonna sell it to us cheap. So we found something pretty much that scenario. It's an 18-foot pool, and so we bought it, and it had a lot of extras with it. They have this freestanding shower that you can hook up to your water
nice.
And like shower before you get in the pool and stuff. And they have a heating deal. It looks like a giant plastic radiator, and you can hang it on the fence or lay it out flat or whatever. And the water, you add it to the water system, so as the water goes to that radiator, the sun heats it up because it's black,
right.
And it heats the water before it returns back into the pool.
Nice.
And so it's a pool heater, right? And so we took and bought that, put all that stuff in our garage, and just took the new motor, and hooked it up to our 15-foot pool. And it was great because it's a stronger motor. It does more gallons per minute, And so it was awesome. Our pool was cleaner than it's ever been. I think the original motor was a little underpowered for that pool. So we moved here, and we were on well water, so we didn't pay for our water. We moved here, and we're on metered water, so we never filled the pool. It's been sitting there all rolled up in my driveway. And every summer when it starts getting a little hot, I go, man, it'd be fun to set up the pool. But nah, it's going to cost too much. So this year, though, so miserable, we just set it up. And I just had our young adults group over, and I said, hey, come over. We'll have some brats, and we'll have some fun. I'll set
up
my fire pit.
Why are we not recording in the pool?
Well, because electronic devices, I don't know, microphone floaties and stuff.
Can we figure something out?
Maybe we can figure something out.
A microphone hanging over the pool.
Well, we just set it up. And so actually last night I had some of the young adults over, and I just threw up the last minute because the pool got completely set up and I got the chemicals in it. I said, hey, the pool is up now, so if we want to turn this into a pool party, feel free to bring your swimsuits. And they did. So, my kids and some young adults were in the pool while I was cooking brats, and the water was really cold because
nice.
I did not hook up the
right,
heater.
Right.
And so,
but
anyway.
On a hot day, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, what it made me think of, Scott, though, is we're right now in the swing of summer.
Yep.
And it's real easy to just think about the fun activities, float in the river, pool parties and barbecues
or,
and campfires.
Or to be so caught
stuff.
Up in the in the busyness of the schedule.
Absolutely. That
you don't
before
realize
we know
where
it,
you are.
Fall's going to hit.
Yeah.
Fall is right around the corner. The bottom line is summer's pretty much over and fall is here.
Yeah.
And if you have not already started your fall planning and calendaring,
you're too late.
Too late.
You're behind the eight ball.
As they say.
Okay,
which
so
I don't know. I don't get that completely.
Yeah.
I picture Indiana Jones running from the giant ball.
Behind the eight ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that'd be you in front of it. But if you're behind it, then is it the cue that you're worried about?
You're making me want to Google the phrase and the history.
No, but seriously, is it behind if you're when
you
hit
running
it with the pool
from
cue,
it?
Which
is the front?
The cue ball is going to hit the eight ball.
Right. So you're behind the eight ball.
Then it's going to hit you.
It's going to hit you
and run you
That's
over.
That's got to be where it's at.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We figured it out. All right, that podcast is over.
Yes.
We figured that out.
Stay eclectic.
No, but seriously, okay, so you're, what do you do? Like, when should somebody, if they're listening to this podcast, and they're like, oh, man, I was hoping to listen to this podcast and figure out how to do all my fall calendaring, like, when should they have started?
Right. Honestly, you should have started at least conceptually working on fall when your first, by the time your first summer event took place.
Wow.
That's my opinion on it. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to have things laid out and the calendar all developed. But you need to start thinking about fall by the time summer starts. And it's more imperative than, in my opinion, it's more imperative than any other season to make sure you're on the ball. Let's not get on that metaphor either.
Yeah.
Behind the ball, on the ball, whatever. But that you're moving forward with it that early than any other season, simply because summer moves so quickly and it is so cram-packed in youth ministry. There's so much stuff going on that unless you intentionally begin to plan it out early, you will find yourself putting it off, and never doing anything until it's way too late.
Now, I can't remember the source, Scott, but I remember reading a very conservative take on youth ministry calendaring, and I was blown away. But there are some people that do this. They said that when you hit Christmas, you should already be planning your summer. And when you hit Easter, you should already be planning your fall. And I was like, what? I mean, Easter, that's like April, and you're planning September already? But the more I think about it, the more I go, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. In all honesty, here's where I am. It's late summer right now. I'm already working on finalizing a very general, very adaptable 12-month calendar that goes through next summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already been planning next summer.
That's awesome.
So
what are we doing next summer? More pool parties?
Place? More pool. Yeah. As of now, like I said, flexible. So
flexible.
Based on the information I just discovered, it is now officially changed to some pool parties at your place next summer.
Now, maybe we can get a giant floaty for the grill, and we can actually grill in the pool as we're floating and recording.
Oh.
So a floaty for the laptop, and then a float for each microphone.
Everybody's got to have goals.
Those lounge chair floaties for us, and a barbecue grill floaty.
I love it.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Now I'm kind of hungry.
I am.
Thinking about food.
I am, too.
But let's stay on topic.
Oh.
For those listening.
Okay.
So when it comes to fall planning, right? So you start calendaring, like how do you do it? Do you just go sequentially, start, okay, September, 5th is our fall kickoff, and let's just figure out Sunday, and then what's Wednesday, and then what's next Sunday? I mean.
So part of what I'll do is, what I do is I'll begin with, like, looking at a 12-month major event calendar.
Okay.
And
what do you consider a major event?
So summer camps.
Summer camps, yes,
are
that's
two big major
event.
Things. So those are, and generally, though, for us, those tend to be the same typical weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'll put those in pencil on the calendar until we have our contracts for sure and firmed up and know exactly.
Yeah.
But camps, we've got an event coming up with Dare to Share. It's
Dare to Share Live.
Dare to Share Live.
Woo!
That's
September
23rd. Yep, that's a big one. So that goes on the calendar.
Coming to a church near you.
Yes, look it up.
Particularly Mountain View Church.
Yes.
If you're in the Olympia-ish area.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's okay. Plug away. If you have, if you tend to have like any kind of a revival emphasis, like there's a Sunday through Wednesday that you do a big youth thing and maybe with multiple churches or whatever, there's a church in our area that's doing that and invited us in. But thankfully I've got a certain number of major events that are already in place that it kind of competes with the Dare to Share Live thing. So I'm like minimally involved in that because I've already got my major event, the critical events kind of laid out. But it's just things like that. So are there any key traditions that your youth group does? It's like, boy, if we don't do our annual Wild Waves trip, it would be hard to get away. I could potentially lose my job.
Wild Waves is a local water theme park.
Yes, it's a Six Flags location, and there's a water park with along with rides, roller coasters,
amusement
stuff like that.
And stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
So just kind of some of those things. So it's like these are the things we really need to do.
And we're also tied into universities. So as part of the Church of Nazarene, we're tied into Northwest Nazarene University, and so we have campus visitations that we do.
And I take two trips a year, and so I get those on the calendar. I take a trip in the fall, and then I take a trip in the
And we've got a couple of large spring. Events that they hold there, the Gathering and then the Call Conference.
Right.
And so You got to plan those in if you're going to be involved in those.
Yeah, and so I always look at, okay, the balance of things. One thing I work really hard not to do, especially in the long-range planning, I don't look at, like, everything that we're going to do for the entire year, because some things it's just difficult to plan out, especially when you're dependent on other entities. So, like, I'm dependent on our district for camp dates, for dates of
Missions Day
and things like that. I'm dependent on dates from the college or the regional council, the region, for when like the call, the gathering, you know, different things are happening.
And then every 4 years, we've got the Nazarene Youth Conference where, I mean, that's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, this 2019.
Right.
And so it was in Louisville, Kentucky last time. And so that's a big thing. Yeah.
But then I also look at, you know, what are the major themes of teaching that really need to be hit?
Yeah.
I'll address certain topics every so many years, or maybe every year, and I'll look at when's the best time to fit this topic in. I might do it differently this year, but you know, where am I gonna talk about sexuality? Where am I gonna talk about, am I gonna do an apologetics type emphasis? And if so, when am I gonna fit? Where am I gonna put that? And just kind of general things. And you can look at different events. What are some things we need to talk about leading up to this retreat?
Yeah.
What are some things we want to talk about following the retreat to deal with, you know, so like camps.
Yeah.
After we do our junior high camp, the very next Wednesday, because our middle school group meets on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
So junior high camp, the very next Wednesday, is kind of a camp debriefing thing where, and I do the same thing on Sunday night, the first Sunday night after our high school camp. So we'll spend that night talking about what was dealt with at camp. What are some things you learned? And it'll kind of be a dialogue kind of thing, but I'll come in with a plan on what I want to address.
Yeah.
And it'll be a little bit of a dialogue. What are some things you learned? Here's the thing, you know, testimonies, and it's great, exciting. You guys learned all these wonderful things. I'm glad God's been working on you, la, la, la. And here's where we're going to move forward from here. Here's some things to look forward to, and know that we're gathered around you, not to just hear you talk, but to hear what you're saying. And we're here to partner with you from this point in your life moving forward, and we want to be a part of that journey, la, la, la. And some people would look at that and say, well, but what about all the kids that didn't go to camp? Well, What other cool way to promote camp for next summer than for those who weren't able to go to immediately hear incredible things that God was doing that they missed, including fun stories of events that happened at camp. So I know that that's coming in. So whenever I look at the calendar, there's camp. I know that immediate Wednesday after camp, that's what the topic is. And so, you know, you plan in some of those kinds of things too. It's not just activities and events. It's emphasis for Bible study as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome. You know, one of the things that I like to look at is our what I would consider mountaintop experiences.
Right.
Like, so from the kids' perspective, what's a major event that they're going to walk away from jazzed up, just like ready to be a sponge on a spiritual high? And I want to take advantage of that. So you've got your maybe winter retreat, you've got your summer camp, you've got a missions trip, and plot those out on the yearly calendar. And then if you look at that, if those are mountaintop experiences, then in between those experiences are going to be valleys. And so then I like to look at, okay, well, what can we place in here time-wise? We need something in between there that's going to help bridge that valley so that we can use it as a spring pad to keep forward momentum going. And then I may not have the specifics of what that event is going to be, but I'll know that, you know what, this can be an overnighter event here because, you know, it's – we've had enough time to recover from camp and we're not quite to, you know, the mission trip yet. So maybe we'll do an overnighter here or an all day event, you know, that kind of thing. I also, quarterly, we've decided we want the kids to be learning to serve. And so that's part of the makeup of our youth ministry. We want our kids to be in service. So we have a quarterly service project. The dates aren't set. Who or where we're serving at, you know, that's not set, but we know that sometime around this month here, we're going to have a service project. And we do that three quarters out of the year because we don't do it during summer. And we partner with a local church a sister church, South Sound Church of the Nazarene, because they've got a pretty small youth group. They're a smaller church, and resource-wise, it just makes sense for us to partner and do that together. And so we started calling the event Better Together. And so we partner with that church. We go out and we do a service project, and our teens get to serve side by side. It's been really awesome. And then, I like to look thematically like you do, too. And when it comes to our, midweek studies, what are we going to be doing? Are we carrying a theme through? Now, on Sundays, we're aligned with the adult teaching.
Right.
So we're on the calendar. We're studying the same things. Right now, we're going through Ephesians. And so it's a series called Dear Church. The adults are doing it. The teens are doing it. But getting two different perspectives. So the idea, though, was that when your teen comes home, you can have a conversation. Hey, what'd you guys talk about today? Oh, we talked about Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we did too. Well, what's stuck out to you? And you guys can share that rather than, oh, we got the exact same message from the same pastor and the same takeaway. And so that so far has been pretty successful, and so we're gonna continue to do that.
Cool.
But the other thing that I like to do is when it comes to my leaders, and we could do another topic for leader appreciation, a whole nother podcast, but I like to schedule that in. And for me, that is a fall time thing because my ministry calendar goes from fall to fall. And so the summertime is the end, the culmination of youth ministry for the year. And so sometime between the last summer event and the fall kickoff event, I like to plan like a Friday evening and take the adults out and buy them dinner and a small gift, and just go around as I give the gifts, and just a word of encouragement and thanks for serving in ministry. And I like to schedule that because it's a great way to start the fall. So right. I think of that as kind of our fall leadership kickoff, and I recast the vision for youth ministry. And I feel like you need to do that on a regular basis because you might have new leaders that haven't really heard the vision. You might have older leaders who haven't heard in a while. And so just recast the vision and saying, hey, listen, these are going to be our ministry priorities moving forward this fall, and build up excitement. For example, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Dare to Share thing and letting the leaders know this is the expectation. We want to set the bar high. These are the things this year that we want to see happen in ministry moving forward.
Yeah.
And man, it's awesome to get everybody on the same page so that the entire team hits the fall. You hit the ground running right in the fall. And the fall is a very busy time. Summer's a busy time too.
Right.
And so I try to take advantage of that tiny little lull that you're going to have right after summer and right before fall hits.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I include in my summer fall planning, my summertime planning for fall, part of the reason for my 12-month major event calendar is, and the further out it is, the less specific it really has to be right now, but kind of generally lay some things out. But I like, at a minimum, to have 6 months of, I'm pretty sure this is really where we're going. Because here later this week, I am meeting with my team of event planners. I have three event planners, and we're going to look at the major event calendar. We're going to kind of divvy up the things, and my event planners are going to take some of those fall events and some into the winter, and we're going to look primarily at the next 6 months because we don't need to look too far out for the planning. Some stuff, yes, but that stuff will come later. But at least the next 6 months, what really needs to be picked up right now to move forward. And so my event planners will then pick those things up, and they will work with me. But they'll do a lot of the heavy lifting of the details and this, that, and the other. And so I've got to have some idea of where I'm going in the fall and in the winter and even into the spring a little bit so that I can sit down with my event planners and we can look at these are the things that are on the plate. If I'm not doing my planning before now, then I can't sit down this week with my event planners and say, this is where we're going. Who's going to take what?
Exactly.
And whose schedules are going to allow you to take what at what time of the year? Because I have one of my planners, she's a soccer coach, and so she's got commitments at different seasons that will allow her to do certain things and not do other things. And so, so it requires me to plan ahead so that I'm not left having to do all of the event planning. If I don't plan ahead, I'm stuck doing all the details because then I'm dealing with having last minute.
Exactly.
If I plan ahead, then I can pass some things off, and we have plenty of time to
That's
work
smart.
Together.
Yeah. Yeah, so I This is not my strong suit. I will say that right now. I'll be the first one to admit. You can call my senior pastor and say, hey, how's Rob at planning way out? I'm terrible at it. What I do is I can plan a skeleton and say, this is the skeleton that we're working off. We know we've got major events here, here, and here. We've got large ministry events here, here, and here. And then I pepper in the smaller events, throughout so that they're kind of spread out. But what I like to do to specifically plan is I'm about good for 3 months out. And right now, our worship design team plans that way. And I introduced to them this 3-2-1 method that I learned. Basically, in a 90-minute meeting, you're going to spend 30 minutes brainstorming 3 months out, like what sermon series is going to come up next, and what are some great ideas. And that's where you just dream big. You don't shut anything down. It's just brainstorming. Throw it all out there. There's no wrong answer. And if money were no object, if time were no object, like what would we want to do? And then do that. Put an end to that, and then you spend about a half hour saying, okay, 2 months out. Now, 2 months out, you already know what the sermon series is going to be,
right?
And you're starting to put some flesh onto that and starting to get specific tasks assigned. Okay, well, we know that we want Scott to come and give his testimony because that'll tie into the sermon series. And so you got to make those phone calls and assign that to someone. You call Scott, make sure he's good to go. He's in town. He's able to give his testimony. And then you spend a half an hour 1 month out. Now, the 1 month out is your current sermon series, usually, right? And so it's finalizing details like if you're at the end of your current sermon series and you're getting ready to start a new one, it's continuing to finalize details so that sermon illustrations, if you've got a video that you need played, you're getting it to the tech people, etc. So at any given point, you should know 3 weeks from now what you're doing.
Right.
6 weeks from now, you should have a good idea, and 12 weeks from now, you should have thought about it and have some sort of idea of which direction you want to go. And it's been working great.
It's been
working great.
That's part. Another reason for me, and at least in my context, why it's important to plan out like that with sermon series, with Bible study themes, with the different things we're going to do, is because I've got some people that I've got students, high school students, as well as some adults that are involved in every once in a while taking one of the studies and putting it together and delivering the study. And so sometimes I'll look at, okay, I've got this major event, and the week before that, I'm going to be so busy with details on that, or maybe it's the week after that, I'm going to be wiped out. And
Absolutely.
So that's a good week for me to pass this off to this guy, or to just space things out. So when I have a high school student speak, we call that night Students Speak. And we've got a logo for that. We promote that. And
the
students can
speak.
Is that
the logo I'm using? The one with the microphone on it?
Yeah. Oh, did I send that to you?
No, I think that's a Ministry Pass logo.
Maybe
not.
Oh, maybe.
I think
no, Students Speak.
That's what
I don't know. I don't know. There's one that I use that I created, and then there's some others that I, for other things that I got from Ministry Pass, which Ministry Pass, by the way, great resource. I know we've mentioned it in the past.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It can save you a lot of time if it's the type of resource that you'll use.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So the students speak thing, and they do their thing, and so I'll look at it, and I'll place these, because I'm not going to do it like – I'm not going to do it like every other week for a month and then or a month and a half for 6 weeks or whatever and then nothing for a long time. So I'll strategically place it. So then I know I've got X amount of time to work with this student and help them develop their thing. So I can pass on. So this is what we're going to be studying. This is what I'd like you to develop or whatever.
And one part of youth ministry is to also build those relationships with the community, right? And so we're located right across the street from the high school here, Tumwater High School. And so one thing that I learned is part of the culture here in this area is sports. Tumwater winning football, that's what they call
it.
Coach Sid Otten just retired, the winningest coach in Washington State history.
Wow.
And, they've got a new coach coming in and everything, but that program is very revered. And in Tumwater, we've got two high schools. We've got Tumwater High School, Black Hills High School. I learned my first year here, you cannot plan a youth ministry event that week because on that Friday, Everybody and their grandmother are going to be in the stadium watching the two rival teams play one another. And so something to take into consideration is whatever high schools you have or middle schools you have in your area, getting a hold of their school calendar, learning their start dates, their end dates, their winter break, their midwinter break, their spring break, and kind of planning your ministry around that, because you don't want to exclude a whole bunch of people when you do your planning.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Finding that balance, finding the right coverage, planning out in advance to be able to pass things off so you're not overwhelmed. There's so many reasons why by now you should have already been working on fall.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And you could really look at every season the same way.
Yeah. And if you're one of those people that we talked to in the beginning who is already behind the eight ball, as it were, you know what? Use this as an opportunity to start planning for next fall.
Yes.
And then you can be in front of the eight ball, which I'm not sure if that's a safe place to be.
Yeah, because then you're between the cue ball and the eight ball. You're going to get sandwiched.
Yeah, that's not whatever the analogy is, you'll be on top of things.
You don't have to be on the pool table if you plan.
At all.
You're not down there in the danger. You could rise above it.
Exactly. You could be the one shooting.
Yes.
You can be the one working the pool cue. You can be the shooter. How about that?
I like it.
That sounds good. I don't know. We just killed that analogy.
Totally.
I don't even know.
I'm not even sure where we were going anymore.
I don't know either.
All right.
I don't either. But in a moment of honesty, Scott, can I just confess something to the listeners?
I suppose.
You know, while we might plan out our ministry months or a year out, I'll be honest that sometimes our topics that we're talking about are not planned out that far. I mean, we have a general list that we work on, and we go, you know, what God's put on my heart is this, this, and this, and we've got a list that we're working off of. But I'm gonna be honest, we could use your feedback. And
yeah.
So if there's something that you would like us to discuss, or if there's a topic that you've got some expertise in and you want to maybe be a guest on the show, we'd love to hear from you. There are several ways you can get a hold of us. You can visit our website. That's eclectic.com, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can email us, podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, that's E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can find us on Twitter. We are @eclectic. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/IamEclectic. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a positive review there. That would be awesome. Please listen. And if you heard anything worthwhile, consider sharing us with your friends and even total strangers.
Yes.
If you want to download the podcast, put it onto an MP3 player and just hand it out to people on the street, we would love that.
Yep.
We'd give you a shout out too.
We would. We'd love to give you a shout out.
We would.
Speaking of,
yes,
we need some Yost's roast.
Yost's roast.
Roast coffee.
We need Mike, if you're listening, we could use some Yost's roast.
Yep. Facebook.com/Yost's roast.
Yes, our proud sponsor. He's not really our sponsor,
no.
But we like to call him that.
He does. Well, he sort of. He pays us in coffee.
Yes.
He gives us beans.
But we don't mention him just because he's giving us coffee.
No, we mention him because we love him.
That's exactly the truth. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Stay eclectic.